Yeah, it was just another day talking to Paul McCartney about his songs over a period of years for Pulitzer Prize winning poet, Princeton professor, Paul Muldoon. Paul, good to talk to you again. Good morning.
I'm delighted to be with you. Thank you.
I have to tell you, the book that you put out last year that you collaborated with Paul on, and you were the editor on that, Paul McCartney, The Lyrics, 1956 to the Present. It's something that I go to all the time. As a matter of fact, I was just looking at what you wrote about another day and what Paul told you and how important that was to him. First solo song after the Beatles broke up, and also how John made fun of it. This was when there was tension between John and Paul, and John came up with How Do You Sleep with the lyrics, "The only thing you done was yesterday, and since you're gone, you're just another day." As Paul said to you, it was one of John's little piss takes. That's why that book is so tremendous. And now we're going to hear the conversations that you had with Paul while you were putting together that book, right?
They're coming out as a podcast. Of course, if one's not doing a podcast these days, one might as well not exist. This is a podcast with one of the great podcast companies, of course, Pushkin. And what's happened here is that I found myself taken aback ever so slightly, I must say, initially, because when Paul McCartney and myself recorded these conversations, it was strictly, as I understood it, and I think as he understood it, with a view to their simply being transcribed and then written, obviously edited down into these seamless, as it were, commentaries on the lyrics on the left, his commentary on the right. But it turned out, of course, that we had two recording devices for safety's sake, and we set them on the table between us and frankly didn't pay a huge amount of attention to them, didn't even favour Paul McCartney, I think, in any particular way. So I was a little taken aback, as I say, when it was proposed that we use these as the basis of a podcast. But you will know more about this than I do, but it seems that nowadays such is the technology that one can take something that was recorded up an alley somewhere with, you know, traffic noise and all the rest of it, and make it sound more than presentable. So that's the basis for this series of podcasts that we're about to launch.
What could be more compelling than hearing Paul talk about what was behind the music? Let me play a little sample of what we're talking about. This is Paul McCartney.
I wanted to become a person who wrote songs and wanted to be someone whose life was in music. It was like going back to an old snapshot album, looking back on work I hadn't thought much about for quite a few years.
That's one of the episodes of McCartney, A Life in Lyrics, that will premiere wherever podcasts are available September 27th. Paul, I recently was in London and saw the great photo exhibit that McCartney has that's going to be coming to the United States and then traveling to other countries. And I was talking to the curator who worked with Paul, and she told me how good Paul is at realizing that he can make people nervous, and he puts folks at ease immediately. How was it with you when you first started sitting down with him? Because you had something like 24 sessions, 50 hours worth, and went through all this with him. What was your, were you starstruck ever?
I certainly was. I mean, from time to time, I'm sure there were a couple of times at least when I pinched myself and thought, really, is it possible that I'm involved in a conversation with Paul McCartney, demigod? On the other hand, and I don't want this to sound strange, but I think the fact that he and I are from essentially the same culture. I'm from Northern Ireland, which is part, as I'm sure you know, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. He's a few years older than I am, but not too many in a strange way. So the fact is that we share an extraordinary amount of, what would one say, our cultural literacy is pretty much the same. In other words, we were brought up in the same music, the same television, and in the same radio. I mean, one of the things that comes across from this book, and indeed this podcast, I think, is the extent to which radio was a part of the Beatles' lives, all our lives. The impact of radio on the Beatles is cannot be overstated when you think of their interest in sound effects and all the rest of it. So what I'm trying to say is that, in fact, I think he appreciated that maybe I wasn't as starstruck as I might have been. And in other words, that he understood that, I mean, people don't want to be surrounded by the starstruck. There was a job to do, and we set about it in frankly a very businesslike manner. Over a period of 5 years, we met, and each time we met, we were determined and stated it, determined not to leave the room, a little bit like Lennon and McCartney, in my case, somewhat more modest way. We would not leave the room without coming up with something that he hadn't quite said before. Mm-hmm. And that, by the way, is a real achievement. When you've been interviewed as often as he has, you know, you tend to say, we tend to tell the same stories, all of us do, about where we, you know, our childhoods, our, you know, our first love affair, or the first song we wrote, if ever we wrote it, we tell the same stories. So what we were determined to do, and I think from what you were saying earlier on, it might have paid off, was to come up with something, not to make stuff up, but to come up with a new take on a life that has been pretty well examined, let's face it.
Yeah, it's a remarkable work, and it's like no two Beatles tracks are the same, and none of these stories, many of them, I will say, I've never heard before. More with Pulitzer Prize winning poet Paul Muldoon after a quick break here. When I'm 64, you'll get the backstory on that in the new podcast, McCartney, A Life in Lyrics, put together by Prince and Professor Paul Muldoon. And Paul, they collaborated on the big lyrics book that came out last year. And Paul, we were talking about stories you never heard before. When I read in the book about that song, I found out that Paul thought it would just be more amusing to use 64 than 65, the retirement age. And also interesting that he started working on the melody at 16, and he finished it when he was 24. But would he do a new version now when I'm 81? What do you think?
I doubt it. Well, I mean, as you know, if you've seen Paul McCartney on stage in recent times, you know, he has more energy than a 16-year-old,
yeah.
Or at least many 16-year-olds that I've come across. And you know, it is true that in that era, the notion of anyone being 64 or 65 was almost, you know, it was unthinkable that someone could be so old. I mean, we knew a few people who were 65, but I don't think in that sense the song quite took into account, you know, what is now clearly an older and more mature, might I say, population.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the things that comes across, I think, from the book, and I think will come across from this podcast, because it's the podcast we're focusing on at the moment, is his sense of fun. I mean, he's a guy who will laugh before anything else. He's upbeat, joyous, so, you know, and it comes across in that song with that little figure there on the whatever it is, clarinet, or it sounds like a klezmer band of some kind rather than the Beatles. You know, little jolly little musical figures, you know.
Mm-hmm. In the tapes, Paul, that we're going to hear on the podcast, will we hear him playing the guitar? Did he bring his guitar to the sessions you had with him?
there was often a guitar around, as is the case with most songwriters. you know, they keep a guitar in the vicinity or a piano. Don't necessarily drag a piano around with them, but they will often be, there'll be a piano in the vicinity. You know, to tell you the truth, I'm not absolutely certain if you'll hear any strumming, as it were, on the podcasts. but it is the case that I was lucky enough to, several times, to be the beneficiary of a solo Paul McCartney show, which indeed did result in a few minutes when I was pinching myself and thinking, really? Interesting.
I think one of the reasons you guys connected and worked so well together, poetry has always been a big influence on Paul, and you're a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet.
Well, you know, it is the case that Paul McCartney had a very, very, very profound literary education. And with the book, and I think it'll come across in the podcast also, one of the things that I was very interested in foregrounding was just that. You know, he had an excellent grammar school, high school education. He was exposed to a lot of writing from the English tradition, of course, right the way through Shakespeare, right up to everything, including the likes of Lewis Carroll, Edward Lear. He had really quite a significant education in literature, and I think that comes across.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you probably know, he is on record as saying that had he not become a Beatle, he would almost certainly have become an English teacher.
Yes.
Which is a very interesting way of thinking about him, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a podcast worth listening to, McCartney, A Life in Lyrics, Conversations Between Paul and Poet Paul Muldoon. Dissecting the people, experiences, and art that inspired Paul's songwriting. Conversations held during the past several years as McCartney and Mr. Muldoon collaborated on the best-selling book, The Lyrics, 1956 to the Present. Season 1 premieres September 27th, wherever podcasts are available. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Paul, and I can't wait to hear the podcast.
Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for having me.
I certainly will. So will a lot of people. Thank you.